Welcome to Between the Lines, where we journey beyond the surface of Scripture with hosts David and Jonathan. Get ready to deepen your faith as we uncover the hidden gems of the Bible. Without further ado, here's our show.
All right, you're here with David and Jonathan on Between the Lines, and we're knee-deep in the book of Numbers. And we're trying to make it as entertaining as possible. There's lots of good information in here if you take the time to analyze it and look at it, look at every word. And once you've read through this book, the entire book, several times, and then you read books like Leviticus and Numbers and Deuteronomy, you will find lots of important things between the lines there because you have read the rest of the book. And things will start to make sense. Let's start here, chapter 18, book of Numbers. The Lord said unto Aaron, thou and thy sons and thy father's house and thee shall bear the iniquity of the sanctuary, and thou and thy sons with thee shall bear the iniquity of your priesthood. That means you are responsible for anything that's wrong in the sanctuary or in the whole line of priests. Pretty big responsibility. Same as a father has for his entire household. And thy brethren also of the tribe of Levi, the tribe of the father, bring thou with thee, that they may be joined unto thee and minister unto thee. But thou and thy sons with thee shall minister before the tabernacle of witness. They shall keep thy charge and the charge of all the tabernacle only. They shall not come nigh the vessels of the sanctuary and the altar. Neither they nor ye shall die. And that's, we've been, it's a reoccurring theme under the law. You know, God gave Abraham the first covenant. It was so simple. Follow me with all your heart and circumcise your children. They couldn't follow it. On the way out of Egypt, they proved they couldn't follow it. They'd follow God one day and the next day they wouldn't. So now the law has been established, and we see that if you break the law, you should die. Certain things that you break of the law concerning the sanctuary, you will die immediately. But the underlying theme here is that all aspects of the law lead to death. Bondage and death. There is no life in the law. You follow this law, absolutely, you will die, and you will end up separated from God. You follow the first covenant of follow me with all your heart and circumcise your children. Your body would die one day, but you wouldn't have been separated from God. So Jesus Christ came back and reestablished the original simplistic one, the covenant that any person can follow. Follow me. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and love your neighbor as yourself. And the grace of Jesus Christ covers all the sin that is in you. And they shall be joined unto thee and keep the charge of the tabernacle of the congregation for all the service of the tabernacle, and the stranger shall not come nigh unto you. You shall keep charge of the sanctuary and change and charge of the altar, and there be no wrath any more upon the children of Israel. And I, behold, I have taken your brethren and Levites from among the children of Israel to you, that they are given as a gift for the Lord to do the service of the tabernacle of the congregation. He's basically telling these priests here, keep my statutes within the tabernacle and the altar so that the children of Israel do not have my wrath on them, because they're bad. They don't ever follow my rules, so they got to continually sacrifice, and you must do it exactly right so that their sins can be covered, not taken away, just momentarily covered, so that they can go back out there and make themselves all dirty again and do it over and over and over again. And I, behold, have taken your brethren the Levites from among the children of Israel to you. They are given to you as a gift for the Lord to do the service of the tabernacle. So the entire tribe of the Levites is given to the priests for the service of the tabernacle. Therefore, thou and thy sons with thee shall keep your priest's office for everything of the altar and within the veil, and ye shall serve. And have given your priest's office unto you as a special gift, as a service of gift. And the stranger that cometh nigh shall be put to death. And that doesn't mean a stranger that's not a Hebrew. That means a stranger that's not an anointed priest. Anyone of the congregation that's not an anointed priest cannot go in there. They will die. The Lord spake unto Aaron, behold, I also have given thee the charge of mine heave offerings of all the hallowed things of the children of Israel unto thee. Have I given them by reason of the anointing, and to thy sons by an ordinance forever. This shall be thine of the most holy things reserved from the fire, every oblation of theirs, every meat offering of theirs, every sin offering of theirs, and every trespass offering of theirs, which they shall render unto me, shall be most holy for thee and for thy sons. In the most holy place shalt thou eat it, every male shall eat it, it shall be holy unto thee. And this is thine, the heave offering of their gifts, with all the wave offerings of the children of Israel. I have given unto you unto them, thee, and to thy sons, and to thy daughters with thee by statute forever. Every one that is clean in thy house shall eat of it. All the best of the oil, and all the best of the wine, out of the wheat, and the first fruits of them which they shall offer unto the Lord, them have I given thee. So the priest's only job is to service the tabernacle, and of the best of all the offerings God has reserved for them to sustain their families. Whatever is ripe first in the land which they shall bring unto the Lord shall be thine. Everyone that is clean in thine house shall eat of it. Everything devoted in Israel shall be thine. Everything that openeth the matrix in all flesh, everything that comes out of the womb in all flesh which they bring unto the Lord, whether it be of men or beast, shall be thine. Nevertheless, the firstborn of man shalt thou surely redeem, and the firstborn of unclean beasts shalt thou redeem. And those that are to be redeemed from a month old shalt thou redeem, according to thine estimation, for the money of 5 shekels, after the shekel of the sanctuary, which is 20 gerah. But the firstling of a cow, or the firstling of a sheep, or the firstling of a goat, thou shalt not redeem. They are holy. Thou shalt sprinkle their blood upon the altar, shalt burn their fat for an offering made by fire, for a sweet savor unto the Lord. And the flesh of them shall be thine, as the wave breast and as the right shoulder are thine. And all of these things, all these wave offerings and heave offerings, were explained in detail in Leviticus. But God is adding things to the law, and that's what we see. It's a continual addition, more and more and more statutes and more things. And in this respect here, he's kind of lowering the bar a little bit, and he's making a way to feed the Levites and the priests. All the heave offerings of the holy things which the Lord of Israel offer unto the Lord have I given thee, and thy sons and thy daughters with thee by statute forever. This is a covenant of salt forever before the Lord unto thee and to thy seed with thee. And the Lord spake unto Aaron, thou shalt have no inheritance in their land, neither shalt thou have any part among them. I am thy part and thine inheritance among the children of Israel. And behold, I have given the children of Levi all the tenth in Israel, all the tenth in Israel for an inheritance. There is your tithe. That's exactly where it comes from. This is the first mention of that, except when Melchizedek was given a tenth from Abraham when he came back from the battle of the five armies. So there is your tenth. Israel, it was originally given to the priests as a subsistence for their service, which they serve, even the service of the tabernacle of the congregation. Neither must the children of Israel henceforth come nigh the tabernacle of the congregation, lest they bear sin and die. And you also notice that this tithe is part of the law. Jesus Christ came and fulfilled the law. And if you choose him, you have put the law behind you, but you cannot hold on to it. If you hold on to any aspect of it, you must do it all. If you hold on to any aspect of it, then you, what Christ has done is of no avail. You're basically telling him, your sacrifice wasn't good enough, Messiah. I got to still do some of this stuff. But I tell you what, God doesn't want your money. This tenth was a part of the law. God wants your heart. Follow me with all your heart. And he wants your mind. Because the mind, the Bible says, is contrary to the will of God. And the flesh is an abomination. So if your heart follows after God, the spirit, the Bible says, the spirit man lives in the heart. And it's up to the spirit man to take control of the mind and therefore bring the body and the flesh under subjection. And you must do that through rationing. You cannot give this body everything that it wants. If you do, the spirit man will go to sleep and you will be so out of control and so far from the face of God that you will wake up one day and say, how did I get here? So God wants your mind and your heart. more than your money. Neither must the children of Israel henceforth come nigh the tabernacle of the congregation, lest they bear sin and die. But the Levites shall do the service of the tabernacle of the congregation, they shall bear their iniquity. All of their iniquity is placed on the priest, and it's up to the priest to do the sacrifice correctly, or it's on them. It shall be a statute forever throughout their generations that among the children of Israel they have no inheritance. So when they get into the land, the Levites, you'll see coming up, again, Joshua starts going into the land, that when he parcels it all out, the Levites don't get any. But God is, says, I am your inheritance. I will take care of you. You know, and in some ways, that's great. You're not out farming the land or nothing, but you got a lot of statutes to pay attention to. But the tithes of the children of Israel, which they offer as a heave offering unto the Lord, I have given to the Levites to inherit. Therefore I have said unto them, among the children of Israel, they shall have no inheritance. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, thus speak unto the Levites, and say unto them, when ye take of the children of Israel the tithes which I have given you from them for your inheritance, then ye shall offer up a heave offering of it for the Lord, even a tenth part of the tithe, and this your heave offering shall be reckoned unto you as though it were the corn of the threshing floor and the fullness of the winepress. Thus ye shall also shall offer a heave offering unto the Lord of all your tithes which ye receive of the children of Israel. Ye shall give therefore the Lord's heave offering to Aaron the priest. Out of all your gifts ye shall offer every heave offering of the Lord of all the best thereof, even the hallowed part thereof out of it. Therefore thou shalt say unto them, when ye have heaved the best thereof from it, then ye shall be counted unto the Levites as the increase of the threshing floor, and as the increase of the winepress, and ye shall eat it in every place, ye and your households, for it is your reward for your service in the tabernacle of the congregation. Ye shall bear no sin by the reason of it. When ye have heaved from it the best of it, neither shall ye pollute the holy things of the children of Israel, lest ye die. Okay, and this is all very well and good as long as God is visiting the camp like he is. He's a regular guest there. He's coming and he's going. When he's there, they camp. When he leaves, they move. But you'll see as we get further into this book, as soon as God starts vacating the premises, he's got other things to do. I mean, there's a whole universe out there and he built it all. As soon as he spends time elsewhere, the priest line starts going astray. Did he say a tenth, Jonathan? Or was it 15% this month?
Right. And it's within like a minute of him.
Yeah.
Door.
30 seconds. You're giving him a lot with a minute. Yeah. I think we're going to, you know, I want that new camel. We're gonna do 18% this month.
Yeah. Is it so bad to throw a party
then,
in the tabernacle?
And then Phineas, the fat priest's son, he comes up with this plan where you bring your meat in there. Not only do I get the tenth, but I've made this hook. And I'll thrust it into the bucket, and whatever comes up out of the hook, I'll keep for myself. And then the rest goes to God. What's left over goes to God. And, you know, with this, everything in the law says the first is God's.
Right.
And he'll deal it out the way he wants it to.
And the best of.
The best of, yes, yeah. But the priest line, and this is the way Satan works, you know. What better way to bring the people astray than to infest the priest line? And it's been that way since Jesus Christ created his church. You know, what, 30 years after Christ made his church, Paul is writing letters because they're all squabbling amongst themselves. All the different churches created by the different apostles. Oh, I follow John. I follow Thomas. I like the way Jude preaches, and he says things a little bit different than Billy Bob over there. You know, And Paul tries to set them straight. He says, you know what? Focus on what Christ said. Follow me. You know, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. Love your neighbor as yourself. Look to me for your salvation. Don't focus on the little things. And that's what they were doing. And that's what every denomination does in this world today. Why are there 50,000 denominations? Why isn't there the Church of Jesus Christ? Oh, there is. Church of Jesus Christ, Latter-day Saints, Church of Jesus Christ, Holiness, right. Church of Jesus Christ, and the Alibaba Temple of the Swine. You know, there's It's unbelievable what man has done. God hates religion. There, I said it.
100%.
God hates religion, Christian. This bondage of this law is religion. He never established it to begin with. He said, follow me with all your heart, circumcise your children. And they couldn't do it. So that he put them in bondage. He made religion. And Christ come to take away religion. He come to tear it down. So it wasn't necessary anymore. All of these things that you do with your hands, nothing you do with your hands can make you holy. Mm-hmm. Only the heart can make you holy and where it's focused. You got to understand that. And that's what reading Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy will teach you, that the law is bondage and it leads to death. And if you hold on to it, you will end up dead, physically and spiritually dead. So put your hope in Jesus Christ and leave the law behind. Chapter 19 here at WVFF 97.7 with David and Jonathan on Between the Lines, Understanding the Bible. I'm sorry, I got a little fired up there. And I don't like religion. God wants a spiritual connection with you. He does not want a religious one. Okay? The law is religion. Chapter 19, Book of Numbers. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron, saying, this is the ordinance of the law which the Lord hath commanded, saying, speak unto the children of Israel that they bring thee a red heifer without spot, wherein is no blemish, and upon which never came a yoke. This is very important because this is happening right now. We'll talk about that in just a second. And ye shall give her, speaking of the red heifer, unto Eleazar the priest, that he may bring her forth without the camp, and one shall slay her before his face. And Eleazar the priest shall take of her blood with his finger and sprinkle of her blood directly before the tabernacle of the congregation 7 times. And one shall burn the heifer in his sight, her skin and her flesh and her blood, and with her dung shall he burn. And the priest shall take cedar wood and hyssop and scarlet, cast it into the midst of the burning of the heifer. Then the priest shall wash his clothes, and he shall bathe his flesh in water, and afterward shall come into the camp, and the priest shall be unclean until the evening. And he that burneth her shall wash his clothes in water, and bathe his flesh in water, and shall be unclean until the evening. And a man that is clean shall gather up the ashes of the heifer, and lay them without the camp in a clean place, and it shall be kept for the congregation of the children of Israel for a water of separation. It is a purification for sin. And he that gathereth the ashes of the heifer shall wash his clothes and be unclean until the evening. And it shall be unto the children of Israel and unto the stranger that sojourneth among them for a statute forever. He that toucheth the dead body of any man shall be unclean 7 days. He that purify himself with it on the 3rd day, and on the 7th day, and he shall be clean. But if he purify not himself the 3rd day, then the 7th day he shall not be clean. Whosoever toucheth the dead body of a man that is dead, and purifieth not himself, defileth the tabernacle of the Lord. That soul shall be cut off from Israel, because the water of separation was not sprinkled upon him. He shall be unclean. His uncleanliness is yet upon him. This is the law: when a man dieth in a tent, all that come into the tent and all that is in the tent shall be unclean 7 days. And every open vessel which hath no covering bound upon it is unclean. And whosoever toucheth one that is slain with a sword in the open field, or a dead body, or a bone of a man, or a grave, shall be unclean 7 days. For an unclean person, they shall take up the ashes of the burnt heifer of purification for sin, and running water shall be put thereto in a vessel. Okay, so when you are in an unclean state, the process for the very first process for becoming clean is this burnt offering, the ashes of the red heifer without spot or blemish. For an unclean person, they shall take up the ashes of the burnt heifer of purification for sin, and running water shall be put thereto in a vessel. And a clean person shall take hyssop and dip it in the water and sprinkle it upon the tent and upon all the vessels and upon the persons that were there and upon him that touched a bone or one slain or one dead or a grave. and the clean person that sprinkle upon the unclean on the third day and on the seventh day, and on the seventh day he shall purify himself and wash his clothes and bathe himself in water and shall be clean at evening. But the man that shall be unclean and shall not purify himself, thou soul shall be cut off from among the congregation, because he hath defiled the sanctuary of the Lord. The water of separation hath not been sprinkled upon him. He is unclean, and it shall be a perpetual statute unto them, that he that sprinkleth the water of separation shall wash his clothes, and he that toucheth the water of separation shall be unclean until evening. And whatsoever the unclean person toucheth shall be unclean, and the soul that toucheth it shall be unclean until evening. Did you get all of that? That's a lot of statute in there. Mm-hmm. But what it amounts to is, at this state, the state of Israel now, 2025, there is no Jew that is clean. They have not had a sacrifice in 2,500 years. 2,400 years, 2,340 years.
Right.
You get the drift. They're all unclean. So there must be found a red heifer without blemish that has never had a yoke, and it must be sacrificed just as this law says, in order for them to begin the cleansing process so that they can even begin the rebuilding of their temple, the third temple that Daniel says will be rebuilt during the first half of the tribulation period. Without this red heifer, it cannot be done. I tell you what, I read several years ago, there were rabbis over in Israel that had contracted with some Texas cattlemen to produce a red heifer without blemish. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't going very well. Spent millions of dollars. And I mean, these are Texas cattlemen. They could make polka dot cows if they wanted, I do believe. They know they know how to do it. This is genetics that, you know, it seems like a simple thing, but God is not ready. And there is no red heifer without spot or blemish that I know of at this point, unless the rabbis have gotten it already and made that sacrifice and kept the ashes. Right. Because the temple is coming up very soon, and they must have that animal in order to even begin the process. In chapter 20 of the book of Numbers, trying to get through it best we can, statute after statute, bondage after bondage, handcuffs, ankle cuffs, neck cuffs, rack, everything, every kind of torture device you could want is right here in the law. If you choose to live by the law, it's a bondage thing that you must enjoy. So, chapter 20, book of Numbers. Then came the children of Israel, even the whole congregation, into the desert of Zin in the first month, and the people abode in Kadesh. And Miriam died there and was buried there. And there was no water for the congregation, and they gathered themselves together against Moses and against Aaron. Once again,
we're thirsty.
Where's the water at? God created all the universe, and now he's left us out here to die with no water. And the people chode with Moses and spake, saying, would God that we had died when our brethren died before the Lord. Oh, you remember them people that messed up and God wiped them out? Why didn't he just wipe all of us out?
Yeah.
We're thirsty. It's been 2 hours since I had a drink.
We'll be back with more spiritual insights on Between the Lines after a brief message from our sponsors. Stay tuned.